I want you to see that the believer is encouraged by their personal interest in the sovereignty of God. The believer is encouraged by their personal interest in the sovereignty of God. There's a fundamental truth in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the fundamental truth is this, that it is for you and I. Dear believer, the truths of Scripture, the promises of God are for you and I. They are personal to us. And we have a spiritual and an eternal interest in them. We can think of the great truths contained in this passage.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Dear believer, if you're struggling with assurance, you're struggling with comfort, consider God. Consider who He is. Don't set His word aside, but read it and understand the great knowledge of God and have that applied by the Spirit to your heart to lift you up, to encourage you. This assurance is founded upon experience. The apostle says, and we know, we mentioned Acts 16. The apostle knew that all things work together for good from experience. How often can sorrowful circumstances be used for good? How often can sorrowful circumstances be used to bring souls to Christ? Perhaps in your own life, in your experience, you can think of sorrowful circumstances that were used by God to bring a blessing upon your life and upon your heart. We can think of Joseph, verse 20 of Genesis 50, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph was cast into the pit. He was sold into Egypt. There was that incident with Potiphar's wife, and Joseph fled. He was righteous. He didn't sin, but he was cast into the prison. And then Joseph, who was brought low, was exalted. God brought all these circumstances into his life. Men thought evil against him. God meant it unto good to save much people alive through the years of famine. And Joseph was used to bless not only Egypt, but to bless his own father's house as well as they came to Egypt. Dear believer, that was the experience of Joseph. When we think of this verse, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good. Can you think of circumstances within your heart by which God has blessed you? Yes, it's been difficult, but the situation has worked for God's blessing in a way that you could never think possible. How marvelous. How wonderful. And this firm assurance in the sovereignty of God, it removes our fears and our doubts and our skepticism. O believer, have a firm assurance that God is in control of all things. Look at these examples and the experiences of the saints. It's not just the Bible that is filled with these experiences, but church history as well. And how men of God suffered greatly, but God used those circumstances for good. Secondly, I want you to see that the believer is encouraged by their personal interest in the sovereignty of God. The believer is encouraged by their personal interest in the sovereignty of God. There's a fundamental truth in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the fundamental truth is this, that it is for you and I. Dear believer, the truths of Scripture, the promises of God are for you and I. They are personal to us. And we have a spiritual and an eternal interest in them. We can think of the great truths contained in this passage, of how we were predestinated. Verse 30, or verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Verse 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." How wonderful these truths are. God has elected his people. He has called his people. He has justified his people. And one day his people will be glorified. And Paul cries out, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God be for us, who can be against us? And as the people of God, we have that personal interest in the sovereignty of God. It is through the sovereignty of God that we cast our anchor, as it were, that we can have that sure hope and that sure foundation in life. We can rest assured that such a promise and a truth is for us. There are characteristics here in verse 28. This great truth, this encouragement is for those that love the Lord. Those who love the Lord. All things work together for good to them that love God. We are to love the Lord. It is our duty to love the Lord. It is our duty to love Him more than anything that this world has to offer. We can think of Moses. Moses, who denied self. Hebrews chapter 11, Moses, who esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. He loved the Lord. He loved the Lord more than all of these temporal things. And dear believer tonight, do you love the Lord? We're not talking here about a love that is made up of words. You can write, I love you. You can buy cards that say, I love you. You can say, I love you. But the Lord sees the heart, and He knows if you love Him. He knows how deep that love is. He knows how strong that love is. He knows if it is a love that is not really there. It's just a pretense. It's a fraud. It's a mask. He knows how much you love Him. Tonight, as we think of this personal interest we have in the sovereignty of God, do you truly love the Lord? Matthew Henry said, they love God. This includes all the outgoings of the soul's affections towards God as the chief good and highest end. It is our love to God that makes every providence sweet and therefore profitable. Those that love God make the best of all He does and take all in good part. Tonight, do you love the Lord? Do you love Him as your own and personal Savior? Do you love Christ because He died upon the cross of Calvary to redeem you from your sin? Do you love Him because He first loved you? Is your heart overwhelmed with that love for God and for the Savior? As you know, we were conducting the communion service this morning, and our brother, Mr. Sam Chow, was here. We were at his church conducting the communion service, and we thought there for a moment on the purposes of the Lord's table. And as I thought on that this morning and bringing that during the time of communion, there was a little seed for a sermon here perhaps next month. But one of the great purposes of the Lord's table is that we show our love to the Savior, our thankfulness to Him, our obedience to Him. We show our love to Christ. How often we can come to the house of God and we're cold. How often we can come to the Lord's table and maybe we're cold. It's out of routine. We're expected to do this, and we don't think anything of it. It's maybe like the spouse at Valentine's Day. He knows he's in trouble if he doesn't stop and get some flowers, and maybe it's done out of routine. It shouldn't be done out of routine. The men should guard against that. But sometimes it can be done out of routine. I have to make sure I do this, or there might be consequences. And we can come to the house of God like that. We have to do it. We have to be here. If we're not here, and we're not here continually, and we're not partaking at the Lord's table, then people will notice. And then people will say something to me. And then I don't know what to say. And I'll go and I'll keep up appearances, but the heart is cold. Oh, dear believer, do not let your heart grow cold. When you think of God's love toward you, what if your love to Him? What if your love to Him? This great promise is for those that love God. Oh, that we would reassess our love to Christ tonight. That we would set aside this world, set aside its pleasures, those pleasures that last but for a season, and love Christ with all our heart. It is for those whom God has called. Verse 28 again, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The word called can mean invited or appointed. The Lord has called us to be His people. He has separated us out of the world. Set us apart to be His people. Dear believer, when you think of God's call to you, are you living in light of being called to salvation and faith? Are you living in confidence knowing that Christ has saved you? Christ has redeemed you? Are you living in confidence that all things work together for good. This is the promise of God. We have a personal interest in it because we are called and we are those who love the Lord. Are you resting upon that great personal interest you have in the sovereignty of God, knowing that all things will work together for good to them that love God? Thirdly and finally, the believer is encouraged by their genuine peace from the sovereignty of God. There's a peace here. We know that all things work together for good. The text does not say all good things work together for good, but all things work together for good. And despite the negative things or the positive things in life, we can think of those things that bring us, all of these things should bring us a genuine peace. Think of the attributes of God, the work of Christ, the work of the Spirit, the covenant of grace, the Word of God, the sacraments, prayer, the communion and fellowship of the saints. All these good things work together for our good. It includes our pain, our suffering, our afflictions, our persecutions. God, in His sovereign will, can bring these things upon us to work good, to encourage our faith. Many years ago, I heard of a young lady, who was diagnosed with cancer. She later lost her life, a young mother. But during that time of being diagnosed to the day that she left to go to heaven, you could see, and others testified, of how her faith grew, how it strengthened, how she was a testimony to her family and to others. In the outside, those who were unbelievers could see the faith she had. Devastating news. But yet, God brought that trial upon her. And in His sovereign will, one of those outward purposes we could see was that her faith was strengthened. And she was a great testimony to what the Lord had done for her in salvation and in faith. Difficult, tragic circumstances, but God was on the throne. And God worked all things for good to them that love Him. When we think of this, God's attributes work together for good in our lives. Colossians 1 verse 11, the apostle says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. When we think of the attributes of God, He is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth, and all those attributes work together for our salvation, and all those attributes work together for our good in our lives. The Puritan Thomas Watson spoke about the power of God, and he spoke about that power that supports us in trouble, that power that supplies our needs, that power that subdues our corruptions, that power that conquers our enemies. We're not talking about a power in this world. We're not talking about the power of man, but the omnipotent power of God. That power that has no limit whatsoever. It supports us in trouble. It supplies our needs. It subdues our corruptions. It conquers our enemies. How encouraging that is, that we are resting upon the God of heaven, who by His power works these things in our lives. We can think of the mercy of God. And God's mercy, Thomas Watson says, it humbles us. It melts our souls. It makes us love Him. It makes us fruitful. It makes us thankful. When we think of the peace we have from the sovereignty of God, oh, the attributes of God work for our good. We can think of afflictions and distresses and sufferings and persecutions. They work together for our good. We've touched on that. Some years ago, I spent some time in hospital. I had an infection. Actually, incidentally, the doctor believed that it came from Australia. And so I arrived in Melbourne in my first day of 12 months in Australia. I got some coffee I went to a place in my travel guide that said there was very good coffee and breakfast. I enjoyed that. I sat by the river. I did a bit of reading. I went to my hotel. I felt tired. I thought it was jet lag. And I woke up the next morning. I had this little pimple on my shin. It began to grow. I had a fever. I had to find my way to the hospital. Something had bit me. And I was on medication. They said to me, well, where do you live? The pharmacist says, what's your address? And I said, I've no idea. I've left home. I'm en route to South Australia. I've no idea what my address is. And so it said, Andrew Fitton, no fixed abode. And so for a little short period, I felt like I was homeless. And I got the medication, and I still felt the effects of it for a little while. But when I was in hospital back in 2019, the doctor, while he couldn't prove it, thought that my infection in the exact same place was connected to what had happened those years before. And so we have to be careful when we go to Australia. But I was in hospital. I was set aside. I couldn't work. I couldn't preach. Those people that I cared for and visited in hospital, they were coming and visiting me and encouraging me. And I know what it's like to spend days alone in hospital, to rely completely upon the Lord in that situation. It gives you a different perspective, being the recipient of pastoral visitation than being the one who does the visiting. And you can think, well, why does this happen? Why do such circumstances come upon me? And God has his reasons. And God has his purposes. And all things work together for good. As we face trials and difficulties, let us think, what is God's purpose here? What is God teaching me? What is God going to do through this circumstance? Maybe he's going to bring someone across my path I can witness to. Maybe something is going to happen later on, and I'm going to be in a particular place where God is going to change my life or the life of somebody else in a mighty way that only he can do. Let us not look upon our afflictions negatively, but let us see them as opportunities for God to work all things to our good. Our afflictions, our difficulties, they drive us to Christ for comfort. But finally, as we close, let us remind ourselves that our bond with Christ can never be broken. All things work together for good, and we're encouraged, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? Verse 39, verse 35, nothing. Nothing. The apostle could not come up with a single reason by which he could be separated from the love of his Savior. There is nothing. Nothing at all. Dear believer, how encouraging that is, that even our difficulties in life, through them, nothing can separate us from our Savior. Let us rest upon him. Dear unbeliever tonight, are you resting upon Christ? For salvation, you need to rest upon Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can. But if you're resting upon other means for salvation other than Christ, then you will not know the peace of God. You will not know the forgiveness of sins. There is nothing. Nothing can help you. Nothing can save you. Oh, that you could be able to say, as the apostle, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ because I rest in him. I'm not resting in myself. I'm not resting in my works. I'm not resting in a church. I'm resting in Christ and his finished work. May you know the blessing of that. May you know the peace that that brings, knowing that whatever befalls you in life, that nothing separates you from your Savior. The Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.
Spurgeon brings us today to Psalm 39, verse 12. I am a stranger with thee. Yes, O Lord, with thee, but not to thee. All my natural alienation from thee, thy grace has effectually removed. And now, in fellowship with thyself, I walk through this sinful world as a pilgrim in a foreign country. Thou art a stranger in thine own world. Man forgets thee, dishonours thee, sets up new laws and alien customs, and knows thee not. When thy dear son came unto his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Never was foreigner so speckled a bird among the denizens of any land as thy beloved son among his mother's brethren. It is no marvel, then, if I, who live the life of Jesus, should be unknown and a stranger here below. Lord, I would not be a citizen where Jesus was an alien. His pierced hand has loosened the cords which once bound my soul to earth, and now I find myself a stranger in the land. My speech seems to these Babylonians, among whom I dwell, an outlandish tongue. My manners are singular, and my actions are strange. A Tartar would be more at home in Cheapside than I could ever be in the haunts of sinners. But here is the sweetness of my lot. I am a stranger with thee. Thou art my fellow sufferer, my fellow pilgrim. Oh, what joy to wander in such blessed society! My heart burns within me by the way when thou dost speak to me. And though I be a sojourner, I am far more blessed than those who sit on thrones, and far more at home than those who dwell in their sealed houses. To me remains nor place nor time. My country is in every clime. I can be calm and free from care on any shore, since God is there. While place we seek or place we shun, the soul finds happiness in none. But with a God to guide our way, 'tis equal joy to go or stay. Thank you for joining with us today, and we trust that the ministry of God's Word has been a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you today. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.